Call to order the October 17th, 2022 Town Council meeting at 6:10. Roll call, please.
Brad Amos.
Present.
Terry Langford.
Present.
Randy Mobley.
Present.
Scott McVoy.
Present.
Matt Czarnecki.
Present.
Town Manager Charlie Smith.
Here.
Town Attorney Jacob Elder.
Present.
And Clerk Treasurer Michelle Miller is present.
Thank you. Please join us for prayer and then followed by the Pledge of Allegiance.
Father God, we just want to welcome you to our meeting tonight. We just ask your presence here and just to guide us and direct us in all that we do. We just are proud and proud that we're a godly community and that we call on you and keep your presence near us. Just to guide us in what we do and just thank you for being a good and loving God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Motion to amend or adopt the agenda as presented. Motion by Scott, second by Matt. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Same sign nay. Motion approved. Approval of the minutes submitted by the clerk treasurer, also noted on our website. Motion by Matt, do I have a second?
Second.
Second by Randy. Any discussion?
Real quick, I should have told, there is no payroll allowance docket while you're doing that. Thank you.
Okay, all right. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Same sign nay. Comments, we'll take a second here just to sign this document real quick.
We do have the approval of allowance claims, just not the payroll allowance.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry, okay. I apologize. Approval of the allowance claims, also submitted by the clerk treasurer and also noted on our website. Do I have a motion for approval?
So moved.
Motion by Matt, do I have a second?
Second.
Second by Scott. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Same sign nay. Motion approved. Okay, we'll take a second. Sign this. Comments from the public tonight? None. Ordinances and resolutions. Have ordinance. First ordinance is ordinance 2022-OR-24. It's an ordinance for appropriations and tax rates. Is something that you have, Jake?
It should be in your pocket. It's on the sheet here. This will be.
It doesn't look like a typical ordinance. I'm sorry, Judge. Yeah, for he's looking for.
I don't have the actual ordinance. I don't know if.
It's in the folder.
It's in the folder over there. With Mr.
I've got Jones. One here, the actual one. You want to see the?
Yeah, please.
I don't think it has the.
This is put together each year by our clerk treasurer that
correct.
Sets forth the adopted tax rate for the town.
Okay. All right. I think we had a conversation and everything. I think it's just the finalization of our vote needed to move forward. So appreciate everybody on their hard work and getting this all taken care of so we can move forward to continue to service everyone here in the community. So with that, I ask for a motion for approval.
So
motion by Matt, do I have a second?
Second.
Second by Scott. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Same side nay. Motion approved.
Yeah. Yeah.
Motion to waive the second reading.
So
I got a motion by Matt, do I have a second?
Second.
Second by Scott. Any other discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Same sign nay. Motion approved. Motion to approve second reading of ordinance for appropriation and tax rates. A motion by Scott. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second by Randy. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Same sign, nay. Motion approved. All right, our next ordinance is ordinance number 2022-OR-025, an ordinance concerning the restrictions of the town council district for the town of Sullivanburg, Indiana. I think you've got two we've talked about, and we tabled it at our last meeting. We have two options here, option A and option B. Moving a little bit of some things around. Looks like they are very similar to what we had in the past as far as the amount of households and voter registration. So, Jake, do you have some things you need to add?
Sure. Just that you all are required to do this pursuant to Indiana Code 365-2. And each district, you all are doing your best. It's not going to be exact size, but you know, we want to make sure the districts are contiguous, be reasonably compact, try to have as equal as population as possible, try not to cross any county precinct boundaries or U.S. Census block lines. You know, we've also been in contact with the Clark County Clerk's Office and voter registration, really trying to streamline to make certain areas easier to locate who the representative is and where their polling locations are. I think you all have done a great job with both options, and then really just trying to break down which one you all want to use for.
Okay. Do we have any discussion or any desires for the two?
I think, Brad, after just a brief discussion, I believe this affects District 2 and your district probably more than it does anybody up. I think we discussed a little. Option B would be something that I would be comfortable with.
Okay, all right. I feel the same. So, like I said, I appreciate Lori, JTL, and Jake going through and trying to find the most easiest way to make this thing work, and where it wasn't a messy situation for our voters in any way. So, with that said, then I ask for a motion for approval of option B. Got a motion by Scott. Do I have a second? Second by Matt. Any other discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Same sign, nay. Motion approved. All right. Thank you very much.
Mr. Amos.
You got to read this again?
Yes, sir. We need two readings of this ordinance, and then Exhibit A will be option B as we vote. Just one more reading.
Okay. All right. So,
okay.
Motion to waive the second reading of ordinance 2022-R-025.
So moved.
Another second by Randy. Discussion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Same sign, nay. Motion approved. Motion to approve the final reading of ordinance number 2022-OR-025. Noted that option B is the first choice and option A would be the second, correct?
No. It was just which one you all wanted to.
Option B.
Yes, sir.
So
okay. All right. Option B is the choice. I got a motion by Matt. And a second.
I'll second.
Second by Randy. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Same sign, nay. Motion approved. Thank you.
And if I may, one other thing.
Sure, yes, sir.
The Laura, Ms. White, if you wouldn't mind, option B, just having option B taken off of that and then sending it over, and then Michelle Metcalf, I know you and I had corresponded earlier, there's a requirement that this new map be filed within 30 days. It will be effective immediately here, however, everybody still sits and represents their districts as current, and then, when the reelections come back up, just change the map.
Okay, thank you.
And we want it relabeled as Exhibit A?
Yes, please. That's all. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That's what I would, I'll have somebody else come in here. Me and her. She's gonna send it to both of us.
Okay, all right, our new business is a meter over read adjustment for Lehigh Hanson.
Yes, I'm telling you.
Now we gotta finish this first.
I'm sorry?
Unfinished.
Unfinished?
Unfinished business.
Oh, I'm sorry, apologize. Unfinished business, discussion, question, railroad crossing Atkins Court, Utica Street, and Fern Street, I think is what we talked about, so.
So we brought this up the last council meeting, I brought to you about just a option of potentially changing the stop signs on Utica and Fern Street to yield signs on the old defunct railroad that runs through town. I've since met with the rail master over there. That rail system has been purchased by Kentucky Indiana Rail Lines. They have no plans for anything as of now. They want to keep it as just in case they have a user in the future. That was about the extent I could get out of them for that. But you all were curious about what that looked like, what their intention was, what their plans were. I did ask if we could just remove the rails in the street portion. The answer was obviously no. Can we do something else? The answer was obviously no. They're there. They've done some improvements, like they were the ones who fixed in Utica Street over here. They did some 403 crossing improvements as well. Obviously, that's outside ordinance, but just kind of an update. Again, I didn't know if y'all want to pursue that conversation any further, but I thought I'd report back with that information.
Can we ask them to see if there's any way we can upgrade them a little bit, where we have the, like, the concrete little thing or the rubber things on?
Absolutely.
Give everybody a little smoother.
Charlie, do you know if we do move forward with putting the yield signs, and at some point in the future they decide to use the rails, would they give us enough notice that if we decided to put the stops back up, we would have notification to do so?
We could ask them. I don't know what their follow through is. Like I said, we could have a conversation with them.
I would think that we should enter into an agreement with the town and the railroad that they switch the signs from stop to yield, in a written agreement based on the fact that they claim that the railroad is not using those tracks, the tracks are stagnant, and that if they proceed in the future for some reason to have to utilize their tracks, which is their property, it's their right, they're required to notify us in writing, so we can switch the signs back just for liability purposes. Maybe that should be a yearly agreement so it doesn't get lost in the every year, hey, we're not using it this year, because if not, it gets lost in the mix, and all of a sudden the train comes down the track, and you have the yield sign up, and that's not going to work. I don't think that the bull in the underwell would have any problem with that. So that would be my opinion, and we go ahead and switch the signage.
I'll reach out to the rail master and see if that's something that you want to enter into.
If you have, let me know. I know DP and the president of that. I think it should be a yearly thing if we enter into that agreement. It makes it easier for residents to travel across there, and but it also keeps them safe, too.
We did have some other conversations about some potential stormwater improvements at Utica Street, as well as them cleaning their easement along Penn Street. So, for better maintenance along that route.
So we see what happens.
Very. They have a new rail master over there who's very interested in being a better partner with the town.
Pro community.
I have some input on this. Scott, anywhere where there's a railroad track that doesn't have a stop sign, I mean, most of them has, I mean, I'm just looking for an example because...
There was a time on 10th Street in Jeff where they would manually come out and stop traffic. They had crossing arms there, so they'd set some flares up and stop traffic on 10th Street. I think that's the case as well on their, they call them feeder lines when they go into Jeff Boat on Utica Pike. Which that's a tough practice at nighttime because, you know, you don't see the flashing signals. The railroad has certain minimum federal requirements when it comes to traffic controls at their crossings. And there's different types of crossings and, I mean, really can get in the weeds and a lot of that stuff. But they have a responsibility to basically alert and notify the motoring public at rail crossings. And some of those are very minimal.
Well, and the reason I ask this because, you know, in real life, many people treat a stop sign like a yield sign and they treat a yield sign like no sign at all. And, you know, if there's a railroad track there, I mean, chances are it's still possible to use it. So, I don't know, I just think would it be any liability on our part if we put a yield sign up there or should we just not keep the stop sign?
Well, because, yeah, I think when you get to that point, a yield sign is alerting traffic that a yield is you're yielding the right of way to that train. And we're asking people to use common sense logic for rail crossings because if it wasn't normal everyday traffic. So I don't think it would be a liability issue on the town part to replace the stop sign with. And in the railroad's defense, they've done a lot of this stuff with trying to make people aware of trains. And I mean, you still have today the full arm crossing, people still try to go around. I mean, it's crazy. But in this case, I think there would be agreement. It would be okay with my opinion. How about next time?
I just think of Fern Street and, you know, we have three stops there on Atkins Court, top of Fern, bottom of Fern. What's it going to turn into when you put yield signs? We're going to have a stop sign for Atkins Court, that's going to remain. But the other two, you know, the yield sign to me, I mean, I don't know if we have a lot of speeding tickets, a problem there.
The one, there's not much traffic at all. So
on
the Atkins side, so you're not, that's not going to, and then the other one, quite like you said, Unifor, everybody knows that track is not in use. So if we're not around, they're not stopping there anyway. So taking a stop sign and putting a yield is better, in my opinion, on that particular intersection also.
Okay. I just want to hear some input from people that deal with it on a daily basis. So. Thank you, Scott. Thanks, Chief.
Plus the body shop guys, they might not appreciate the stop sign. They might like fixing a bunch of run-ins. All right, okay. Anybody else have any other discussion about it? Because we just want to try to move forward with the discussion with maybe a condo of a yearly agreement.
I agree with Scott.
All right. So, motion for approval with the...
I don't need a motion, I just need some direction.
All right, thank you. All right, second unfinished business discussion, RDA project, Borden-Sullenberg Regional Wastewater Cooperative.
All right, so as I presented to you all at the last meeting, I went to the Regional Development Authority seeking funding for some of our wastewater solutions and potential connections and partnerships with Indiana State Parks, Town of Borden, and Starlight as well. The RDA did vote to award us the $1.5 million for engineering and design of the Borden-Sullenberg Wastewater, which includes our West Northwest Regional Sewer Station. Now it gets filed with what they call the portal with IEDC pending approval. So while we've been approved at the local level, it has to be approved at the state level. But I would say overall it went well. I appreciate Councilman Langford for attending with me.
It was, I enjoyed going. Extremely enlightening to see the process. Different communities around town presenting their projects, or different communities around our area coming forth with their different projects they have and then get ruled on and voted on at that level. Our was the first one, so that was pretty good.
Yeah, that's great. I've said, Charlie and I sat there at River Hills, you know, met with everybody, all the area people up, so it is exciting.
It is.
Anybody else have anything to add?
Okay, sorry, now we'll go to our new business, the meter overread adjustment for Lehigh Hanson.
Pretty self-explanatory. There was a input reading that generated a mistake on their billings. It's over my limit. It seems like a lot because it is a lot, but consider the amount of water that they utilize, it's not really a lot. So obviously that's more than my justice.
So my question is, was it a lot or not a lot?
It's a lot compared to my authority to sign adjustments for users.
Oh, okay. That was just presented in a
I understand.
Awkward manner, so.
So I understand. They have a 6-inch water meter. They use a lot of water. So when you miss a number or two, you're good.
So it was an input error on our part?
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Which caused it to be off a lot?
Correct.
No further questions.
All right, so I have a motion to make the needed approval. I have a motion for the needed approval for the overread adjustment.
So moved.
Motion by Matt, second by Scott. Any other discussion? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Same sign, nay. Motion approved. Thank you. General comments from the public? None. Staff report, Charlie.
Handful of things here. As you know, there's been a lot of conversation about what is or isn't happening at Wendy's. They are opening on the 25th. So I know it's been apparently the talk of social media. So 10:25, 10 o'clock ribbon cutting they want to do, and they'll officially be open at 10:30. On October 29th, will we be doing movies in the park? Wilkerson Park here. We're going to wait a little bit longer to see the long-term forecast before we confirm everything, but tentatively we will be doing movies in the park on Saturday, the 29th at 6 p.m. Ideally a double feature.
What's the movies? What's the movies?
Some Halloween movies.
Halloween movies.
Halloween movies. And trying to work a deal maybe for some pumpkins in the park or pumpkin patch movie nights. So we'll see if we can get that worked out. Do parks.
Awesome.
Do you all recall here several months ago you all approved a contract with traffic engineers to do some traffic studies in Hillendale and Covered Bridge? Those studies are now concluded and report. They sent a draft report. Would like to put them on the agenda to present those reports to you all on the November 14th meeting to come and give a formal presentation. And then upon closing of the council meeting, do a workshop after the meeting once it's been presented. I know there have been some interested residents from Hillendale and Covered Bridge that have questions and want to sit in and have an open session Q&A, so I figured it'd be better to have the engineers come in, formally present their findings to you in a meeting, and then have the workshop afterwards, so there could be a general Q&A session with the guys in the public and the engineers. So, it is up on that. And as far as stuff you may hear from some of your constituents, there was an error on rates that were inputted for water into the system here a while back. We caught it on an internal audit. So the rate codes were inputted incorrectly by a third party. Once we discovered that, we went through, immediately corrected it, but then we had to go back to review any payments since that input time. So there's going to be some residents getting anywhere between $7 and $50 back thereabouts on their next billing statement. So if anybody has any questions, they can just call the billing office related to that.
So that's a lot.
And it's only water.
That's a lot.
It's not a lot.
$50, yeah.
It could be a lot.
A lot.
It could be a lot or a little. So, again, if they have any questions, they just call the billing office. There's some documentation, or they basically have paragraphs in the billing statement, so when they come in, they have questions where they can call.
You say it's on next month's billing?
Yes.
Okay.
Should show up on the member statement.
Thank you.
That's all I have.
Anybody have any questions for Charlie or? Looks like Lori White's got some information, I think she dropped off, and maybe she's got something to talk to us about today.
I have things to talk to them. What I have to talk to you about is the Ohio Avenue Water Main Extension. We are going to need to issue notice of award for that, to get the contractor to be able to proceed with their cost and schedule finalizing. They, based on when we had initially bid this project, which now has been almost a year ago, and then had to deal with all the easements and making sure that was all acquired appropriately and reported. So based on some, you know, material price increases and things like that, they're going to have to probably have an increase. They're thinking right now it's going to be about $20,000. We did, when we bid the project, build in about a $10,000 contingency, I think was the line item. So overall, it would end up being about a $10,000 increase on the project. But they can't give us that for sure, again, with the way things are today.
Let me ask a question. Mm-hmm. They are asking for a schedule change.
So,
and they had a project that even started.
Well, here's the thing. So, bid it out, gets awarded. Easement, there's a survey issue that was discovered after it was awarded. So we had to go back to the property owner, resurvey, and reestablish an easement that was never recorded in the first place. So Jake and I have worked on it for
months.
6 months with this attorney to get this thing lined out before we finally got the documentation and the sign off of the property owner. So this thing sat out there for better part of almost 7 months because of this easement issue. So now that we've got the easement issue resolved, they cannot proceed and order materials until we've got this easement stuff resolved. So now that we've got this resolved, they're now going to go back and order the materials within the notice proceed. And therein comes that cost increase. It's either that or rebid the whole thing.
Nope.
I have asked for documentation on what their original bid was on the piping materials. Then, but now, to justify that number, so it's not just an arbitrary saying, hey, this is, we're just doing this because it's been a year.
So there's a difference of $10,000, not 20.
It's 20, but in our budget, we built in a $10,000 contingency for change orders or overages.
In your experience, has anyone ever come back and said, hey, we're going to give you this money back because we didn't exceed this?
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So, Charlie, I have a question.
Yes.
The $20,000 is what percentage of the project? Is that, do you know offhand what the project is for, on a dollar of flats?
I don't. I can look it back up. I don't remember what I bid for now. I want to say it was that one the one at like 190 something?
I think so.
I feel like it was in the 190s.
So, if it's 190 and 20,000, we're asking for a 10% increase, basically.
Yeah.
And
it's under the 20% overall total.
Okay. And just for my, curiosity, it says for material, materials or valves, pipes, or what exactly is that, the material?
It's mostly
pipe. That's the issue because the length, it runs all the way up Ohio Avenue.
Okay.
So, just
to be specific, when we're talking about pipes, these are evacuation pipes.
These are water pipes.
Water pipes.
These are
pressure.
Water pressure. So what, an 8-inch? We're on 8-inch through there.
It's 8-inch. Yeah.
So basically, we're running 8-inch. We have a water main at Bobby McDonald's. At 311 Ohio McDonald's intersection, that we are running 8-inch line that runs back and connects to Hillendale at that fire hydrant if you come in Ohio on the right. Currently, Hillendale is only serviced by a single 6-inch water line that runs under 65, and it's a dead end. This creates the loop.
So for my further water pressure education, these pipes are nowadays no longer metal. They are, or are they still metal? These pressure pipes?
They can be. I don't think this will read on this.
Yeah, this is PVC.
So what was the?
They use, they use up the ductile liner on pipes like this. I don't think that's how we bid this. We bid it out and said, a lot of times you see them like on a construction project sitting on the side of the road, a big blue pipe. That's more or less what this is.
Well, I'm just curious because we had all this infrastructure and water problems 75 years ago. What's the new wheel? Is it something better now? Or we use a different material? I mean, I'm just curious.
PVC.
Yeah. PVC. For the most part. Thank you.
So that's the Ohio Avenue Water Main Extension. So we will need to, like I said, issue the notice of award so that they can move forward with that. I was just given that information today. For the system connection to Indian American, we have a meeting this Thursday with our staff and Charlie and the contractor to just make sure we've gotten everything squared away and still on target and good to go for that.
Who's the contractor for that?
Excel.
It says here, notice received will not be issued until substantial materials are delivered to begin construction.
Correct.
What is qualified as a substantial materials? Is that a pipe?
So when we bid this project, because we knew, you know, what kind of what we were facing, as we have been with lead times for other projects, as part of the bid, we asked them to include their estimated lead time in days with the anticipation of issuing notice of award, which you all did, and then the notice to proceed for when their contract time starts. Those are what dictate your substantial completion and final completion, which are the key milestones on, you know, projects like that. So we based when notice to proceed will begin, because that will time their contract dates, and we based that on the lead times that they had put out there with their bid.
So have they, I mean, we're almost to November 14th, so have they gotten substantial materials in your country ready to go? Can we check in with them?
Will find out if they've gotten them here, I guess, on Thursday. We have had regular communication with them because they have to give us submittals along the way, you know, for us to approve. We have approved, especially those submittals, you know, those were the first ones that they got us. They got it into us right away, and we approved them, got those moved through so they could go ahead and order. So we should have another update on that at our meeting on Thursday. Other than that, everything else is going well at the treatment plant.
I did notice something in the treatment plant. It states the contractor is preparing a change order for additional costs. I'm shocked by that.
On which one?
The wastewater construction. Mm-hmm. For the paragraph, last sentence.
So that one was one you all already did. It is now changed to black text instead of blue, meaning it has already been addressed and handled along the way.
So the blue text means that it's been handled?
The blue text is the new updates.
Which means that a change order is coming.
The second bullet point. The second bullet point on the relocation of the outfall, the change order was submitted for review. Is that the one you're asking about?
Yes.
Okay.
So a change order's coming?
Most likely.
Thank you.
I know.
That's the only question I have about the wastewater. Sorry,
Ron. All right. Anybody else have anything?
Yeah, Fred, I'm a little troubled, but anyway, on the change orders, just like going back to the Ohio Avenue Water Main Extension, the 20% high. possible, I guess that's possible, it could be less.
Right.
Okay.
The goal is always less.
So I guess my question is, when we commit to buy or they commit to buy, does the price stop there, or does it just, is it always evolving, does it change as it goes for the new materials? Do they deliver it to us and say, and you may already have this answer, but I don't have the answer. Do they just charge it at the end, and that's where we're at, and all the shipping charges and all that that come with it all?
So, sure.
I'm just saying, if we commit to it.
Right.
You know, if we commit to it earlier, and do we get a price, or how's that work? Just briefly give me a.
Sure. So a couple different things are happening right now with the state of where we are. We have seen where some projects are, you know, you're ordering your materials, and then they are actually not charging you until the material comes in, and what the cost is when it comes in. We have some projects where we have ordered them, and that's been, you know, that's locked the project price in there for that material. It depends on supplier, material type, time of delivery. It's unfortunately the way things are right now, and a moving target in some, you know, in some instances. So it just kind of depends. That's not a great answer.
So basically, it's an open-ended book. It makes it hard for towns to budget appropriately for a lot of these projects, because you could get to a scenario where an 8-inch pipe, lead pipe or plastic or whatever, goes up $2 during the time the project was bid to the time that they start, and then now everyone wants to charge you a fuel surcharge. You go to Domino's and say, hey, I want to charge you an extra $10 for gas. I'm just using it as an example, so please don't start texting me. But what I'm saying is, now everyone has a fuel charge, they have a freight surcharge, they have this surcharge, and it's making it nearly impossible for us to forecast a certain, and to, I'm sure it's hard for the contractors to bid it too, because they're trying to bid at the lower cost to award these projects. But you know, until something changes on the national front and the supply chain and things like that, I mean, we're going to be stuck like this with these constant change orders.
Yeah, and that's the reason I'm asking the questions. You know, I do $6 million a year in sales, and have to commit to contracts, and people come in, they say, hey, we'll spend this much money with you. At the end of the day, I don't get to change it. It is what it is, whether somebody eats the percentage. And I was just curious of how it works in this part, because, you know, I realize there's shipping problems, but it's just so easy to pass along, it seems like. And at the end of the day, it just seems like we end up, and the taxpayers end up eating it, you know. It's troubling in a way, you know, but, you know, just like with this project, it was 190 and now it's going to be 210 possibly, so it went up 10%. Do we, in the future, you know, I'm not part of a large building project like this, you know, with the sewer plant or even this, but, you know, do we just think, well, it's going to be 200, we might as well plan on 220. And that might be a conservative figure, it could be more.
So for most large projects, wastewater treatment plant, for example, when we are estimating the construction cost of the project, we'll build in some contingency. Now, because of the way costs are escalating, we are even building in a midpoint escalation factor to try to offset some of that, just so that our budgeting is more accurate. And again, it's not, I know that's not exactly helpful at the end of the day when you're thinking, we're going to pay this, but now we're paying this. I just know that as far as the way funding is procured, this isn't across the board. This is something that SRF has regularly commented on. They're seeing it on just about every project. And I will say, with having us, you know, managing the construction administration of this treatment plant project, anytime a change order comes in, or actually, it's just, it's not gonna come in without us knowing it's coming, and we are already going to have gone back and forth to figure out and refine and try to minimize that. Basically, anytime that, you know, they've said, hey, we may need a change order, we say, okay. And, you know, we have that conversation and dialogue to find out where we can also get you a good credit along the way, to make sure that, you know, our goal is to try to get it out at a, almost, you know, a net zero if we can, or better for you guys. Again, with the supply chain issues and cost of materials and everything, that's definitely been something that we're not used to seeing.
So,
but
are we still shocked?
I think Jay is.
So just to kind of bring this, hopefully, a little bit better explanation. When we execute a contract with someone, that's the number, and depending upon what they agree to, okay? Just because somebody requests a change order, there's no obligation for the town council to ever grant a change order, but you look at the circumstances. You know, circumstances with Ohio Avenue may be a little bit different than somebody big, and maybe they should have bought all of their piping at once. If there's nothing in the contract that states that, you know, there's gonna be any increases, or we're gonna, you know, do a look back after 6 months or whatever, each contract's a little bit different. And so, you know, with the SRF and some of these other issues, or when the bids come back on the front end, they're being more expensive because they don't know when these materials are coming in, so everybody has to protect themselves and insulate themselves. So just because somebody asks for a change order doesn't automatically mean that you're gonna grant it. And then we go back and review the contract. JDL will say, yes, we believe this is outside the original scope of what we contracted for, or they say, hey, I'm sorry, subcontractor, I don't want to say you have to eat this one, but this is within your scope, it's your responsibility, and you know the town and taxpayers are not responsible. So I hope that kind of, it's not an open-ended checkbook by any stretch of the imagination. I just want you to know that when a change order presents itself, this council has to vote on it, and then there has to be justification, it needs to be outside of the original scope.
I want to add that change orders are nothing new. Brad and I have been sitting on here for a minute, and these new supply chain scenarios we get, fuel surcharges, and buying those not being on time. That's part of it, but you need to get change orders all along. They bid it, they try to low bid to get the job with a perfect world scenario, and then it's not always a perfect world. They get run into something that's a little more than what they anticipate, and that happens.
Or they'll put disclaimers in the contract, right?
Well, we're gonna do it for X, then Y happens, here's
But that is why we review them all, like Jake said, along the way, to be able to say, well, hey, maybe we can work with you on this part, but then you need to work with us on this part. And, you know, we're continually monitoring to make sure that the scope and all the check boxes, you know, are being checked appropriately.
Five of us here are part-timers, Charlie, Jake, and you guys are our oversight on this. And, you know, if you see something coming, that, you know, we're spending money, but it's not ours, you know. So, you know, when you look at it, you know, 10%, I can't get away with it in my business. It won't work. I will never get that bid again. So I'm just telling you, when I see this, I'm like, well, they came in, I'd like to charge them 10% more. It doesn't work in the private industry, but in government, I guess it's more accepted. That's what it seems like. But anyway, well, I appreciate it. And thanks, Jack.
Yes, sir.
Laura, you as well. Thank you.
Sure.
Anything else?
Any other questions for me then? I heard you all talk about Camp Run for Thursday, so yes, we're good.
All right. Thanks again for a great job. Chief, you got anything tonight? Just happy to be here, so I'm fine. To all the guys and the gals, we appreciate it. All the hard work. Get back.
Well, I don't want to take anything away from anybody, but obviously Halloween's coming, so weather's getting a little cooler, sun's going down earlier, so just be mindful of your driving habits. I know, particularly for my district, a lot of people come out to the Covered Bridge area to trick-or-treat. And I'd like to thank the chief, because he always has a good law enforcement presence out there to help the kids along.
Just people be mindful of, if you're traveling into the neighborhood, leave it better than you found it, take a trash with you, not park on people's lawns and stuff like that. It causes minor issues, but all in all, it's a great weekend. You see a lot of community togetherness. There's like an informal parade, golf cart parade, legal golf cart parade. Chief getting all worked up over there. But it is a good weekend. It does fall on Monday this year, so I'm looking forward to it. But just a friendly reminder, because sometimes it does cause some minor frustration. And other than that, that's it. Happy to be back home.
Your family had a great, safe vacation. Darren?
I just want to remind everybody, there is a countywide burn ban in place. I know they had a fire up on 31 Perry Crossing last week. They contributed to someone throwing a cigarette out the window, so just be mindful of what you're doing with your lit cigarette. Charlie and I have been invited to an HOA for Lakeside Wednesday, October 26th at 7 o'clock. We haven't talked about it yet. And then I have Trunk or Treat at McDonald's on October 28th. 5 to 8 p.m. This is about the 8th or 10th year that we've done this. Dress up your kids, dress up yourself, dress up your car, whatever you want to do. We've got a lot of candy to give away. And the chief provides security for us up there. We have a real good turnout. It's a really safe place to bring your kids to trick or treat. So I invite everybody to come out and join us tonight. October 28th, 5 to 8 p.m.
I'll be there.
5 to 8. Thank you. Matt?
I just want to thank all of our town employees for all their hard work and effort, and our police department. Other than that, there's great things still happening, and looking forward to, you know, the rest of this year and next year. That's it.
Okay. All right. Randy?
Just kind of echo what Scott said, you know, the Halloween and safety, just watch out for the young ones. I was doing a little recon today, and I drove past the Little League ballpark, and I always call it the south entrance. They got the road cut through there now, and I don't know what the finish date is on it, but hopefully Little Leaguers in the town and maybe working together with the trustee that next year they'll have an entrance to the south ballparks and everything. And, you know, as painful as it was, it is progress, and I'm just glad to see it happen. And I just think that, you know, as we all work together as a team here, that was a tough one getting that done, but I'm glad it's underway, and I'm glad it's going to be, hopefully it'll be all set together next year. So, you know, that being said, I'm just thankful for our employees. Thank you. Thankful for people that work here. As I always say, it's a good town to be in, and I think we're moving forward and doing things the right way. I was at the sewer plant today, tried to drive in the main entrance, and they had the road tore out, so I got to do a little four-wheeling back the back roads, and looks like an atom bomb hit over there, so I guess that's progress. And just curiously, what is the finish date, Charlie, for the
This time next year. By this time next year, it should be complete.
Be close enough.
In relation to the Township Park, he was going to cut the road in, let it settle, and pave it in the spring. Mm-hmm. I spoke to the trustee last week. They're going to go ahead and finish the road this fall. So that road will be complete here the next month or two.
Awesome. Yeah. That's all I have, Brad. Thanks. All right, well, thank you. Thanks for the update on that. Thanks for, like you said, I mean, you know, it was a tough thing, but I showed that, you know, our trustee and as well as the council, we was all willing to work together, and I appreciate Billy Ranser as our trustee for doing that, and I support him 100%. So, thank you. From my end, like I said, we've got a few exciting things that may be coming about here in the next month or two, so. I know Charlie, Matt, myself, Terry was able to do our ribbon cutting with our new dentist. I know Charlie said he's already a patient there, and I've already heard some other people that wanted to get in there with Dr. Wooten. And so I know she's done an excellent job of getting her place ready. It's beautiful. I mean, she's done an exciting and outstanding job. So so I appreciated to be involved in that, and everybody else wanting to be a part of it too. So that's what I said, when we get towards the wintertime, you know, a nice little freeze warning a little bit, so make sure you take off your hoses, off your faucets, and take care of that issue, and then whatever else there is, it's going to be a little windy. So, but all in all, like I said, I appreciate what our police department and our town employees are doing. You know, like I said, they're making a lot of progress, and they're doing a lot of great things in our community. So I'm looking forward to us all getting together throughout the winter months and making some positive things here in our community moving forward to 2023 spring. So other than that, that's all I have. Hey, Michelle, you have anything?
No.
Okay. All right. With that, I'll ask for adjournment.
So moved.
Motion by Matt. Do I have a second? Second by Scott. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
7:01.